Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. I was texting back and forth with an old friend of mine, a woman who is a conservative, and she recently married a wonderful man who happens to be a slightly left-leaning centrist. She exclaimed that he had been red-pilled, and when I asked what and how, she explained to me that he still doesn't like Donald Trump, but that he agrees with almost all of his policies. And then she said something that I'm seeing more and more of. She said that he is really mad about the COVID vaccines. Yes, this seems to be the great red pill that is being processed right now, or at least one of them. And why is that? Well, we have a few years under our belt, and the cascade of damning evidence and data from the vaccine makers themselves, like Pfizer and Moderna, is confirming everyone's fears. The shots were not what they claimed to be. Far from it. It seems that everyone knows people, and some know lots of people, that are suffering under some terrible health conditions or another following the second, third, fourth, or fifth COVID booster. And to further illustrate the point, the unvaccinated are clearly doing much better than the vaccinated. The data also shows that as well, and in overwhelming numbers. And I'm not doing these post-COVID episodes as a ha-ha-ha to anyone or to rub your noses in anything. I just want to put the nail in the coffin of any blind trust that we may put in the future in these so-called authorities, quote-unquote, people like the deeply corrupt and psychopathic Dr. Anthony Fauci or Bill Gates or any big pharma-captured doctors or organizations like the World Health Organization. We all want informed consent, meaning if you are going to do a clinical trial on all of us, show us how it is being tested, and let all of the doctors weigh in on it, not just the doctors who are working for big pharma or globalist health organizations with eugenicist agendas. Give us the truth, let us hear the authentic pros and cons, and we can all decide for ourselves and our families. Wink, wink. I really enjoyed today's guest, a longtime medical doctor who was punished for speaking the truth. We'll go over some staggering numbers from Pfizer's own data and see how it all fits together. If the vast majority of us can come to some sort of agreement on what just happened, then God willing, we can avoid more terrible health choices for our kids and grandkids. I wish you all, no matter your vaccination status or your political orientation, good, vibrant health for you and your loved ones. God bless you, Base Campers. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is a retired physician with a very interesting story to tell. Dr. Chris Shoemaker was a general practitioner for 45 years and spent 25 years in emergency and urgent care in Ontario. Here is my interview with Dr. Chris Shoemaker. All right, I am here with Dr. Chris Shoemaker, longtime general practitioner and emergency care doctor in Ontario and truther, Dr. Chris Shoemaker. Chris, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
You know, yeah, I first came across you in Dean Rainey's Why Can't We Talk About This? And I immediately asked him to introduce me to you. I was really struck with your insights and your story. But I guess before we get into all the stuff that we're going to talk about, I guess just to start with, just give us a little bit of a background, like where you grew up, how long you practiced medicine for, and what kind, maybe how big your family is and where you live now.
Well, I'll start with the medical practical side first. I graduated from medical school in 1975. I finished my first year of internship in 76. And after a second year of major training in emergency medicine and other issues, I was a fully qualified comprehensive physician beginning in 1977 in Ontario, Canada. So I've certainly been a doctor for 45 to 47 years, depending on how you want to look at it. And family-wise, I've had two marriages in my life, and I am not married as we speak. That's kind of people's lives. So basically, my grown children are in their 40s already, and therefore I see them when it works out. And it's wonderful. And I see my one grandchild as well through my son, Jason. So I'm very happy with my life, but I'm very unhappy with what's happened to our world.
Beautiful. Thank you for saying that, and thanks for the information. So let's just get into it. So you're a longtime medical doctor in Ontario. When did you start to figure out that there was something afoot, where they were saying it was the same thing up in Canada as here. The authorities, meaning Tony Fauci, including people like Bill Gates, were considered the authorities. I have no idea why Bill Gates would be considered an authority in this. When did you start to figure out, hey, I am not getting a good sense of that this COVID vaccine that they're rolling out is going to be safe and effective? And started to speak out. Did you immediately start to sound the alarm? Did it take you a minute? Just give us a little bit of the story. Were you talking to other colleagues about, at the water cooler, like, hey, what's going on? I know doctors don't often have not often spoken out about this.
So I
And
spoke. Yep.
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, certainly wasn't immediate when it first came out and we saw these people collapsing in the streets of Italy and Wuhan and spinning around and dying suddenly, kind of thing. The photographic evidence of this strange virus. I guess it looked dangerous to all of us. Certainly, in the first 2 or 3 months, I just assumed that we had something that we had to respond to and that the authorities would have to perhaps close borders between countries for a while. I watched the beginnings of that. But certainly 1 year later, by the very early part of 2022, end of 2021, I 1000% was convinced by information I received from James O'Keefe that Fauci had been a significant part of literally creating this virus, literally sending the research over to Wuhan so it could and would be created. And once I knew that, I'd already, unfortunately, gotten my two jabs. I'd been like most people. I assumed the authorities would only give us safe medications, and if it was re going to be used, I would keep myself and others safe as well. So I took the first two jabs, and I immediately, after the second jab, got sick with COVID. I had never gotten COVID working for a year and a half in a COVID clinic. I've been working in a COVID clinic in Ottawa, Canada, for a year and a quarter. And just as that time was winding down, I took my two jabs, and 1 week after I took my second jab was the only time I got COVID. I didn't get COVID from being in front of people coughing and spitting on me for a year and a half. I took my chances like every doctor does. When you work in emergency, someone might have a sepsis in front of you. You're not worried about it. In fact, you don't even wear a mask in emergency if a septic patient comes in. You treat the patient. And that's what I was used to. And I certainly found things, dictums that were really bizarre being imposed on us. So from mid-January of 2022 to the present day, I have been fulsomely informing the public of the information that I've been learning from James O'Keefe and many other sources, many tremendous medical sources, Peter McCullough, Paul Alexander, Geert Van den Bosch, many scientists around the world know the real deal.
Well,
That's it.
you got in the crosshairs. By was it because you were recommending ivermectin or because you started to speak out against the COVID shots, which got you got your license stripped because of it, correct?
I got my license suspended initially, and the suspension was made permanent. But the original suspension was January of 23, after 1 year of my saying things. And the only two things I said, and they were pretty modest when you come right down to it, they're using ivermectin around the world, and they're saving lives in Brazil, they're saving lives in Pakistan, they're saving lives in Uruguay. Why are we not using ivermectin to help save lives here in the USA and Canada? And I said, by the way, in speeches to the public, I gave ivermectin to people for the last 30 years. I gave hydroxychloroquine for patients for the last 35 years. Nobody was ever harmed by these two medicines. They're safe. They're absolutely, absolutely safe with 40 years of study. Effectiveness, well, that was being proven in front of us. And as an eMERGE doc, you've got to use what you have in front of you when you've got a problem in front of you. And if you don't do it in 5 minutes, the patient's dead. So you don't mess around if you're learning from sources that are safely proven, totally, totally safe. Two medicines are saving lives around the world. Then we should be doing it in our part of the world too. And we should have been doing it from 2020 onwards, because the science was there, Tony. The science was there actually since 2012. The science was there since 2012 that those two medicines were the only best medicines for treating a COVID emergency ever.
Yet there was a smear campaign of anybody that said this, including to the product itself, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. In other words, if you went, like my mother went to look up ivermectin, and what does Google tell her on the first three page? It's a scam. It's a horse dewormer. It's not safe for humans. So Google, big tech, was in on this whole big pharma push, and don't let people find out the truth about how safe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were. Like my own mother, I said, well, Mom, a lot of people are taking these two medications instead of getting jabbed over and over. And she went and did a search and said, nope, you're wrong. It says this, right?
Well, the search was basically lying to people. Ivermectin was used for human consumption for 7 years before it was ever used in animals. Mm. The disease that it was saving lives and saving people for something called river blindness in Africa has been used for 40 years. It's a Nobel Prize winning medication for use in humans, safely in humans. And sure, the vets after a while noticed, hey, we've got problems with certain kind of parasites that can create not just vision problems, but other problems in our animals. Could we have this approved for our use too, please? So after it was approved for humans, it became approved for veterinarian care. And all that information in the press, all that information in the commentary that was going on out of the CDC and the FDA was simply obfuscation. It was trying to scare people. It did scare people, and it was wrong.
Yeah. During the whole thing, I was searching. I didn't get the jabs because I was removed from it a little bit, and I just didn't trust what they were saying about it. I thought they were really pushing that everybody's got to get this. And so a little bit of my spidey sense went off when I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait. I don't know if they've properly tested this product, and let me just hold off, you know. And I've had a number of nurses on the show that did not get the jab or was also critical of it, but not too many medical doctors. How did you keep your sanity through it? Because you must have felt ostracized and kind of blacklisted. Were you able to find other colleagues? I know you mentioned Peter McCullough, but in your community, what were you able to find friends and stuff that helped you get through that, I guess, is one way to ask you?
Well, we're continuing to help ourselves through it. Canadians such as Dr. Mark Trozzi, certainly, and Dr. David Speaker are very close friends of mine. Byron Bridle is a brilliant virologist from the University of Guelph here in Canada. And certainly the four of us know each other very well. And there are tens and twenties of other doctors, Charles Hoff in British Columbia, around and that we convince, or sorry, we talk to each other. We know this fullness of science. We reject science that isn't accurate, and we accept science that is proven to be accurate. And sadly for all of us in the world, every physician in the world now knows that this is causing myocarditis in a rate 30,000% more than should exist in society. It should exist 1 in 1,000,000, and it's existing 3 per 100. That's 30,000 per million. That's a bizarre and horrible number proven out of the University of Basel study that showed that within 48 hours of people receiving either their second or their third shot, they showed tremendous peaks in troponin, which is a sign of myocardial injury, and that was in fully 3% of the people getting the jab. Employees of the hospital, proven subclinical myocarditis, admittedly. These people weren't, fainting, collapsing, horrible chest pain. A few of them did that, but many of them had all the biochemical features of myocarditis. And believe me, that is every bit as significant to your longevity. That is every bit as harmful to you if you have this subclinical evidence of myocarditis in your bloodstream within 48 hours of a jab.
Yeah, that's a shocking number. I wanted to read you, I saw from Pfizer's own data, I saw a list and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. But here's from Pfizer. It said that from their from their COVID vaccine, there has been a 279% spike in miscarriages, a 487% spike in breast cancer, a 1,048% spike in nervous system disorders, 155% spike in birth defects, 350% spike in male infertility, a 369% spike in testicular cancer, 680% spike in multiple sclerosis, 452% spike in migraines, 471% spike in female infertility, 437% spike in ovarian dysfunction, 291% spike in Bell's palsy. The list goes on and on. These numbers are unbelievably off the charts. And I just wanted to ask you, like, does the data that you're seeing, you know, besides what Pfizer is saying about its own product, like, is there, can all of this be confirmed by what you're seeing, basically?
Well, it's confirmed by multiple other studies, by multiple other settings. But let's just go to the Pfizer data. The overall average of all of those horrible effects on the human body was 500%, plus or minus, when I average out those various conditions. That's fivefold. If you had a condition that was making it fivefold more likely to have a heart attack, 500% more likely to have a loss of a pregnancy, 500% more likely that your infant when born would have a developmental delay, or they would have a structural delay in structural abnormality in their heart or their limbs. So all of these conditions that you just described, and I invite the audience to listen again to how many they were, 500% more than they should. Some were 1,000%, tenfold. You can't have a drug on the market, and if you start showing 0.2 elevation, in other words, less than 1%, but a significant elevation, say 1 to 3%. If there's a 1 to 3% elevation, not 500%, there's a 1 to 3% elevation in myocardial effect of a drug, the drug, for example, Vioxx, gets taken off the market.
Yep.
Now, it took them, because everything is so deleterious these days, it took them about 5 years to 10 years to get Vioxx off the market with its 3 to 4 to 5% increase of cardiac illness. But again, these are horrible numbers. 500 is a lot bigger than 3 to 5.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's a 100-fold increase in the increase. So you can't have a 500% increase in multiple conditions that are clearly linked to the vax and not state that the vax is a poison, the vax is an inflammatory harm to you, and that the vax can produce 300 kinds of illness, according to Pfizer itself.
Yeah. You know, I saw a study, it was a peer-reviewed study by doctors and scientists from Korea, from South Korea, and it was a really large study. There was 2 million subjects, which is like half the country, and they concluded that the vaccines caused widespread psychiatric manifestations amongst the vaccinated. The study found that COVID shots triggered, get this, a 68% spike in depression, a 43% increase in anxiety disorders, and a 93% surge in sleep disorders. So here we're seeing maybe not, you know, the crippling neurodegenerative and autoimmune and just disease that it caused, but now we're seeing on the other side some of the more mental, emotional, I don't want to say soft disorders, but you're seeing that it has a mental, emotional impact on well-being as well, according to this. This is a big study. 2 million subjects is a lot of people.
2 million subjects showing virtually a doubling of all these conditions of anxiety and depression and the suicides that come from it. Everything getting worse in that large population study out of Korea. And it only makes sense in this sense. The spike goes everywhere. The mRNA goes everywhere. The bits of DNA that are also in the jab also go everywhere because they're carried in plasmids. They're carrying tiny little vesicular spaceships, lipid nanoparticles, as they're called. And the reason that they're in lipid nanoparticles is that they were made to go everywhere. The makers of this HARMVAX didn't want it to stay in your shoulder or go to your lymph glands only and produce a typical polio type reactivity with nothing else. No, they wanted the factories to literally go into your brain, They wanted the factories to go into your heart muscles. They wanted the heart, these factories to go across the mother's blood system through the placenta and into the fetus that's growing inside her. And it was designed, that's what having lipid nanoparticles mean. No vaccine in history has ever been put inside a lipid nanoparticle. And do you know why, Tony? It's because lipid nanoparticles means that it goes to four organs in particular, the brain, the testicles, the ovary, and the bone marrow where your blood system is made. No other vaccine in history has ever gone to those organs. Your brain is safe from any vaccine you've ever received before this one. So are your testicles, so are your ovaries, and so is your bone marrow. They know that those tissues are sacrosanct, and you should never have a carrier system, a system that's bringing it into your body that has the capacity to take it to those four organs. Fertility, immunity, and the ability to think and be a coherent person. All of those are harmed by the COVID-19 harm vax. And you were very, very wise to pick up on that from Korea.
It makes me so angry, Chris, when I see these statistics, and I know that Anthony Fauci is not been brought to justice. It just makes me so pissed off as a man. Like, I so want him to have to pay for all the harm. Look at how much harm has been done globally from his work. And I don't know if we'll ever see it in my lifetime. Like, there's so much corruption. It just makes me really mad. People have been pointing the finger at him for quite some time, but he still was able to execute this, what I see as a eugenicist technique to, you know, look how much infertility it's going to cause. And, you know, it just makes me mad. I don't know about you, but, you know, are we ever going to see justice around this, or is this just going to be, you know, swept under the rug and some other thing's going to come out and we're using the mRNA again? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I trust any of this to not occur again.
No, you can't trust that it would not occur again. And just sticking with Dr. Fauci for a moment, people have a certain proclivity, a certain psychopathy, as he clearly does with his painful research on beagles, with his painful research banning the healthy drugs that would have helped our dear friends in the 1980s dying of AIDS. And they only died because he banned the medication that was going to be most useful and put through a number of studies on the population that were inappropriate. So he's just upped the ante by doing this. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. We will correct it as a society. I'm doing my best to correct it with truth. I know you're doing your best to correct it with broadcasting of truth. And we thank you so much for doing that.
Well, if people want to hear or, you know, do their own research a little bit, or where, I guess I was going to ask you, where do you recommend people go for kind of straight answers to stuff? You know, I know we live in a time when the truth is elusive, but if people want to find, hey, I'm wondering, let's say they come out with something else. It's another, you know, something, it's a product that we're really recommending, and maybe even the CDC is recommending it, or the FDA. Is where do you have people go when they're like, can I double check this? I'm getting a, you know, my sense, sure. My, before I finish here, my sense was people didn't know where to look for anything alternative. You had podcasters like myself that were sounding the alarm, but because the CDC and Fauci and FDA were all saying, no, World Health Organization was like, this is safe and effective. People were like, where do I look besides the conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, which were telling them the truth? Where do I look for a source that's like the doctors themselves are saying, here's where you are going to find clean data about that without all the propaganda?
I'd say, in answer to your question, I would say the two best places are IMA. I don't know if it's IMA.org or IMA.com, but it's Independent Medical Alliance, IMA. They used to be called FLCCC.org. In any case, now called IMA, they have wonderful comments, reams of research, obviously also some treatments that are appropriate for spicopathy and for RNA poisoning in your body and DNA poisoning in your body. They have those stories. They've got the research that tells you what to feel safe doing. The other organization is called World Council for Health, World Council FOR Health, World Council for Health, .org.
Yep.
They too. They are wonderful at having everything you need to know, everything you need to know about truthful science, and everything you need to know about protocols that would help you be as healthy as possible. We have all been made as unhealthy as possible. And by that, I mean everyone on the planet.
Yep.
Everyone on the planet in the last 4 years has been, they think they're fine. They're still going to baseball games. Everything's rosy, right? But everyone is unhealthier than they should be, because even if you weren't given this jab, people are exuding, people who were jabbed, you can't help but sitting beside them on the streetcar or the, you know, the bus, and or in your car and traveling with people and meeting people in meetings. You can't help, you meet everybody.
Yep.
And there's exchange. There's exchange of sweat. There's exchange of little exosomes that goes on. And so we are all being affected, whether we've been 7 times vaxxed or 0 times vaxxed.
Right.
All of the world is unhealthier because of what's been released on us and what we need to dig into. And what the courts are now doing in Holland in particular is to dig into what was actually known by the WEF and by Gates and by Fauci and others. And they will get it out there as to what they knew. And what they knew was that they knew that they were creating a poisonous construct for the human body. They knew it. They knew it, and they did it for that purpose, not for any other.
That's great. It's well said and very succinct. How do people find you, support you in the work you're doing moving forward? I wanted to give you a chance to say that before we sign off today.
Oh, well, sure. Thanks. Thanks so much, my friend. Well, my ex is called at @CSHOEMAKERMD. So my call sign is at @CSHOEMAKERMD. That is on X or Twitter. I have a Substack that's related, but it's lain a little bit dormant lately, but I'm going to try to boot it up and get it going better shortly for people. But in terms of a donation, if someone would wish to help me, and I have been totally unemployed for 2.5 years now, so it's not really particularly pretty being me. But I will persist, and if anyone wanted to help me with my efforts in the smallest of ways or the largest of ways, I would so appreciate aided, and my account that someone can be sent a donation to, e-transfer, as it were, is at, no, sorry, it's not, accounts aren't that way, it's just cshoemakermd@gmail.com, cshoemakermd@gmail.com. I will write back and acknowledge any gift made to me to allow me to continue to do this totally unpaid effort, which is my effort of today and is my effort of every day. As men, we can do no less.
I love it. Thank you, Dr. Chris. Thank you for coming on Basecamp for Men and sharing your insight and your wisdom. So great to talk to you. Come back anytime. Maybe we'll have you back on as they if they try to throw us another curveball and some product hits that people are getting misconceptions about. It'd be great to chat with you to find out, you know, what you're getting from it. So thank you so much for your truth. Really appreciate all the work you're doing. You're a hero in our book. So thank you for that.
Thank you, everybody. Don't give mRNA to you or to your pets, period.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. There was a really good resource for health that Chris mentioned, and I wanted to mention it again in case you wanted to write it down. And it is the World Council for Health, and they are at www.worldcouncilforhealth.org. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.